Today's daf is Vachim Daf Lamed Hey. We are holding on Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. We are at Gufa, five lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. So first we're going to go back to what we were discussing yesterday about how on Erev Pesach, the floor of the Azara was full of blood from all the dam of the Karban Pesach, and they would take one cup of dam at the end and be zorik it on the Mizbeach, take off the floor, a cup of dam, and be zorik on the Mizbeach to cover for all of those who, for any karbanos that maybe fell through the cracks where the dam was not nizrak on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara is going to discuss the details of that, why that works, if that should work, and how the Avoda worked when there was a floor full of dam. Aren't there problems of chatzitza or getting the big day kahuna dirty? How exactly did all of this work? Then we're going to have a Mishnah Laman Hayamid Aleph, where the Mishnah is going to give us some more rules about when something becomes pigul, a machshava about which items. What if the items are not really roi la'achila, either halachically or physically, they're not roi la'achila? So what exactly is subject to being mifagel a karban? The Gemara is going to then tell us a chid of Rabbi Lazar, that there are parts of a korban that can become pigul, they can be mispagel, but the machshava about eating those parts, chutz l'zmano, will not be mifagel the korban. So the Gemara is going to spend a good deal of time challenging Rabbi Lazar, supporting Rabbi Lazar, trying to figure out whether that's true, that there are parts of a korban that can become pigul when the rest of the korban becomes pigul. When you have a machshava about other parts of the karban, but a machshava about those parts themselves cannot be mifagel the karban. And then the last topic in the daf is going to be, before the Mishnah at least, is going to be on the bottom of the bays, when we say that im alu, when do we say im alu, that if certain things that are possible go up on the Mizbeach, lo yardu, that you don't bring them down, and when do we say im alu, yardu, that things that went up on the Mizbeach, you got to take them down. So we're going to have perhaps a three-way machlokas as far as the rules of im alu yardu or im alu lo yardu. So we're going to pick up again, Gufa, five lines from the bottom of the page, Lamed Dalid Amud Bey. So says Mar Gufa, we quoted in the Braisa, yesterday, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Echad Hayim Memali Midamat HaRavis. They would take one kosful of all the mixed blood that was on the floor of the Azara, Shem Yishafech Echad Mehem, because just in case the dam of one of the Karbanos Pesach spilled out and never got Nizrak on the Mizbeach, Nimtza Shehu Machshiro, this kos that you take from all the tarovis of dam will be Machshir, that Karban Pesach. Amru lo, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chum said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Falolo Niskabel Bekli, dam that spilled on the floor of the Mizbeach may never have had a proper Kabbalah, it may have fallen right out of the animal's neck onto the floor of the Mizbeach, and dam that spills out before it ever has Kabbalah, you can't be Zorik on the Mizbeach. So how is that going to help anything to be Zorik this dam on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Minayade, how did the Chum know that it would never have a Kabbalah Bekli? It's making quite an assumption over there. We're not describing some sort of Maisa Shahaya. We're just, as Rashi points out, it's a Svara that he's Choshesh, that maybe dam fell out, spilled out after it was Niskabel Bekli. Why would you assume that it's not Niskabel Bekli? Ella, no, what the Chum mean to say is, Shemelo Niskabel Bekli, meaning it could be that the dam was not Niskabel Bekli and you're being Zorik Dam Pasul, meaning it just like it's possible it was Niskabel Bekli and then spilled out, and now you're doing a great thing, you're covering, helping to do a Zrika for a carbon that needs it. It could be that it was never Niskabel Bekli and you're violating being Zorik Dam Pasul. That's how Rashi understands. L'chore, that's a little bit difficult because, so what? It could be that it was not Niskabel Bekli. Why wouldn't you be Zorik it to help for the dam that is Niskabel Bekli? So Rashi writes in Masechus Pesachim that since the whole takana was only for chashash rachok, it wouldn't make sense to be misakin something that's not necessarily going to address the problem. Meaning, if it were a very common chashash and you think there's a good chance it's going to address the problem, even though you're not sure, so fine. But such a chashash rachok that he didn't do his rika, so it wouldn't make sense, says Rashi in Pesachim, to be misakin something that's not going to vaday address the problem. Tosos explains, since it could be that the dam was not niskabel and it's pasul lizrika, it's usur to be zarik on the mizbeach. from the halacha that says by psulim imalu lo yardu. So it sounds like that you're not allowed to be ola, meaning imalu lo yardu by most psulim. But still, you're not allowed to be malid on the mizbeach. So if there's something that was already that was never niskabel, so then it's a carbon pasul. So it should be aser to be zarek on the mizbeach. So how do you know that all the dam was necessarily ever niskabel? Some of the hand, Rabbi Yehuda responded, Avani lo amarti ella kishen niskabel b'chi. I'm only talking about when there's dam taroves, when you know that it was niskabel b'chi, that there was a proper kabbalah, and then it spilled out onto the ritzba. Yeah, but v'hu gufe minayada. How does Rabbi Yehuda know that always happened? That he's never worried that it spilled out before a kabbalah b'chi, but he's only worried that it spilled out afterwards. Because Kohanim's reason. The Kohanim are very careful when they do their avoda. There's no way they would ever allow it to just fall right out of the animal's neck onto the floor. They certainly would have been mekabel b'kli. If there's such reason, how did it spill out and the zrika never get done? Va'avdin haya u'mishtapchin. Yet they're working very quickly on Erev Pesach. There are millions of korbanos Pesach that need to be brought. And it's therefore possible that since they're in such a rush, you know, that at some point it spills out afterwards. But it's not possible, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Kohanim would have allowed it to spill right out of the animal's neck onto the floor. So says Gemara, but still it doesn't work, this whole etza of taking a cup of dam off the floor, because valo dam atamtsis mu'urabo, you know, there's a lot of blood that comes out of the animal that's not ra'ui to be nizrak on the mizbeach. The dam atamtsis that just oozes out of the animal after the dam hanefesh has already come out, that's all mixed into this blood that you're finding in the azara. So if that so that the dam hanefesh that's kosher for zrika, lechor should be batel berov of the dam atamtsis, and if it's batel berov, you're not really accomplishing anything. You're essentially throwing dam atamtsis on the mizbeach. So says my Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. This is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. The Amar dam atamtsis kare dam. The dam atamtsis is also called dam. Meaning, as far as the isra achilas dam. Detanya, because it says in the brisa that someone who eats dam atamtsis ba'ashara is in violation of a lo sase for eating dam atamtsis. You're part from karis, because by the chi of karis it says ki nefesh kol basar damo b'nafshohu, it's dafka dam sha nefesh tluyabo, that there's a chi of karis, but at least there's a lo sase. There's a lo sase even to eating dam atamtsis. And then Rabbi Yehuda omer, but kares, no, it's not only basar, it's not only lo sase, you're even chayiv kares when you eat the dam atamtsis. Gemara in Krisos and Daf Chaf Beis explains that he darshens the pasuk v'ish ish mi beis Yisrael min agera gor b'socham asher yechol kol dam v'nasati panay b'nefesh ochel esadam v'ichrati osa mikerev ama, that the pasuk, when it says the words kol dam, is coming to be marba even dam atamtsis, that there's a chiv kares even on dam atamtsis. So if that's the case, when it comes to a carbon, Rabbi Yehuda might hold dam atamtsis is called dam, and therefore is kashul lizrika, meaning if he's willing to say that it's full-fledged dam, legabe the yisra achilas dam, and that you even chayiv kares for it, so maybe it's kashul lizrika as well. So the Sfasemis points out, but still, l'chara, that shouldn't solve the problem, because even if dam atamtsis is kashul lizrika, they also have shiari adam from all the karbanos that are and the shiari dam are definitely not mechaper, and that should be. And the dam that is kasher should be batel berov. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't raise that point. So the Gemara only raises the point of dam atamtsis and says, well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe the dam atamtsis is actually kasher for zrika. Says Gemara, v'amar blazer mod Rabbi Yehuda lin kapara sheino mechaper. No, Rabbi Yehuda only holds dam atamtsis is called dam legabe the isra achila and the chiv karis for achila. Rabbi Yehuda's moda that it's not mechaper, that dam atamtsis cannot be used for zrika on the mizbeach shenemar, because the pasuk says ki adam hu banefesh yichaper. So we darshin dam shanefesh yotzebo kori dam, as far as kapar is concerned. Shein nefesh yotzebo in kori dam. Only the dam hanefesh is called dam as far as kapara is concerned. But the dam that's not dam hanefesh, like dam atamtsis, is not called dam as far as kapara is concerned. So we're back to our original question. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how does it help to take this cup full of dam from the dam that's on the floor of the Azara? Whatever dam needs to be nizrak on the mizbeach is batel berov damatamtis, which is possible to be nizrak on the mizbeach. So Ella Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei da amar ein dam mevatel dam. This is shitas Rabbi Yehuda in all of Shas that dam cannot be mevatel other dam, meaning min bimino eino batel, that when you have two like kinds they don't become batel. So even though eino chinami you're correct, dam atamtis is pasul lizrika and it is the rove and it's mixed with the dam akasher. It's not able to be mevatel the dam akasher because it is considered a taroves of min bimino. Tosos raises the question, so what? The dam is not mevatel dam, the dam akasher is not misbatel. There's still dam pasul, so how is it mutter to be zarekid on the mizbeach? Meaning, just like the dam pasul is not mevatel the dam akasher, the dam akasher is not mevatel the dam apasul. And the dam apasul, it's not like, oh well, you might as well throw it on the mizbeach. No, it's pasul to be thrown on the mizbeach. So Tosa says that we're assuming, like Rabbi Lazar, who's going to say later on in Dafayin Zayin, that once you zorik lo l'shem kapara, you see it, you view it as if it's mayim. Or we hold like Rabbi Lazar and Dafayin Ches that dam kasher that's mixed with dam atamtzis becomes kasher. The dam atamtzis becomes kasher. So we're going to see those sugyas later on, but there are these shitos that somehow the dam atamtzis is not going to be a problem once it's mixed with the dam kasher. So this is the bigger picture sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that ein dam mevatel dam min bimino zeno batel, and the svara is that normally the idea of bittel, the Ran writes in Maseches Nedarim, that normally the idea of bittel is that there are two conflicting qualities, two conflicting characteristics, and the one that overwhelms the other is mevatel the other, that you can't even tell the characteristic of the minority or of the tiny minority in the vast mixture of the majority. But when you have min bimino, adraba, the more you have of it, the more it enhances the flavor or the look of it when you have min bimino. So it's not that one is overwhelming the other. They're not working against each other. They're working with each other. That's the famous Ran in Davar Sheyesh LaMatirin, where he explains the svara of min bimino. So min bimino is ein batel for that reason. So Amalem Rabbi Yehuda said to the Chacham l'divreichem, according to you that you're not allowed to be zorik the dam that spilled on the floor of the mizbech. Well then, lama pokekin ha'azara? Why is it that they had the practice, and they did have the practice of plugging up the drainage system in the azara so that dam would gather all over the floor of the azara? What's the point of doing that if you're not going to be able to be zorik that dam anyway? So Rabbi the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yehuda, no, they're not doing that so they could do a zrikas hadam. They're doing that to like make a certain mood, a certain statement that shevach ul bnei Aaron shehalchu al kavzein bedam, that they had the kohanim walking around knee deep in blood, and that was a way of showing, look at Klal Yisrael, look how many karbanos we're bringing, and that the bnei Aaron are working through such conditions in order to be oved Hashem. It was all about that. It wasn't about actually practically being able to be zorik bedam. Says the Gemara, but wait, that's maybe a beautiful statement, but it's halachically problematic. V'dam avichatzitza, blood is a chatzitza, so if there's blood all over their feet, it's going to be chotzei, it's between their feet and the ritzpas ha'azara, so that should passel the entire avoda. So answers Gemara, lachu, lo avichatzitza. No, it's moist, and since it's moist, it's not considered to be a chatzitza. D'tanya, hadam, vadyo, vadvash, v'acholav yiveshin chotzin, lachin ein chotzin. Blood or ink or honey or milk, when it's dry, it's chotzeitz, but when it is when it's moist, it's not chotzeitz. That's an important statement in halacha. Meaning, on the one hand, the Gemara starts off by saying that it's a shevach ul bnei Aaron. But apparently that's not enough reason to say that it's not a chatzitza. Being a shevach l'bnei Aaron is a nice idea, but it would still be a chatzitza. You also need that it should be moist in order to not be a chatzitza. And this is problematic for the Tshuvas Halachas Katanas, because the Tshuvas Halachas Katanas was asked about a moel who was doing milas, and he had blood on his fingers, and he did netilas yadayim. Is the dried blood on his fingers without having cleaned off his hands, is it going to be a chatzitza for netilas yadayim? So he said, what do you mean? It's not a chatzitza when it's a shevachu, that you're doing mitzvos, meaning that he's walking around all day with the blood on his hands. That's a symbol that he's engaged in the mitzvah Hashem. So that's a shevach, that's not a chatzitza. Mm-hmm. So the other achronim point out, and the Shvos Yaakov, he points out, what is the Halachos Ketanos talking about? The Gemara didn't say Shevach solves the problem of Chatzitza. The Gemara pointed out the idea of Shevach and then said, and it's still a chatzitza. As long as it's dry, it's a chatzitza. So lechora, this should be a chatzitza for netilas yadayim. And the Shmos Yaakov also wonders, based on the Ramah. The Ramah writes in Yardeisim Kuf Tzadiches, when it talks about tefillah and a mikvah, that someone who has a job of being a shochet, a katzav, you know, a butcher, a shochet, something like that, and their hands are always dirty with blood, so it's not going to be a chatzitza, because rov b'nei umnus, most of the people of that profession are not makbid about that, because they always have blood on their hands, so it's going to be a miyut she'eino makbid, it's not going to be a chatzitza. But in our sugi, you see that the Kohanim, apparently, l'chora, are not going to be so makbid about dam, they're always dealing with dam, and yet it is a chatzitza. So you could argue that there's a difference between a chatzitza, you know, and a miyut of the hands for netil sidayim, a miyut of the body for tevila, and a chatzitza bein ragleim l'ritzba, where the chatzitza is in its entirety between their feet and the ritzba sazara. Yeah, there's room to make such a chiluk. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tavkov Pei Dalid, when it comes to mila on Rosh Hashanah, that the ideal time, if there's a bris mila in Shul and Rosh Hashanah, the ideal time to do the bris mila is before Tekiyah Shofar, right before Tekiyah Shofar, after Kriyas HaTorah, before Tekiyah Shofar. The Matan Ephraim explains, so that you have, when you go to do the mitzvah of Shofar, you have the zchus of the mila at the time of the Tekiyah Shofar. And he gives other reasons as well. But that's one of the reasons that the Matan Ephraim gives. So the Taz writes over there that he heard about Hagon Morenu Aharav Rav Faivush Mikrakow Zal, that one time he was a Moel on Rosh Hashanah, and he did not clean off his mouth after the mila. He did mitzitza bepeh. He had blood on his mouth, and he was also the Bal Tokeya. And he dafka wanted to be the Bal Tokeya with blood on his mouth during the tkiyah to show the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, look, we're coming with the zchus of the dam hamila. So Dagum Ravav over there says, that's usher, meaning that's a chatzitza. You're not allowed to make a chatzitza between your mouth and the shofar. So he has this foreign blood on his mouth. One thing is lip rips open or whatever, so that you should probably get someone else to blow anyway. But l'chora, it's a chatzitza. So in the Beis Shlomo, he brings that a riot rafaivush from the halachos ketanos that we mentioned, that the moel who's got his blood dried on his hands, that it's not a chatzitza because it's a shevachu. But l'chora, that's against our sugya. I mean, like we said, it's against our sugya. Our sugya says the shevachu is not going to be a svara not to be chotzeitz. Only if it's moist is it a svara not to be chotzeitz. So in the Panini Halacha, he quotes from the Beis Shlomo that maybe there's a chiluk between two different types of chatzitza. You know, there's chatzitza where you have a chatzitza on your body. So then you would say miyut she'eino makbid. You know, if it's something that's a shavach, so it's not. Maybe it wouldn't be a chatzitza. Then there's a chatzitza on the item that you're supposed to be connecting to, meaning there's a complete interposition between you and the item you're supposed to be connecting to, not something on your body where you could say, oh, if it's a miyut she'eino makbid, it's as if it's not there, so it's not on my body. No, it's something that's completely blocking the item itself. So the blood that's on his mouth is still fine. That's maybe since it's a shevach, it's not going to be a chatzitza. But what about the blood that's on the shofar now? That's going to be a chatzitza because it's blocking the item itself. And that's what's really going on in our Gemara. We're not worried about the blood on the feet of the Kohanim. That's a miyut she'eino makbid. Shevach hu b'nei Aaron. They're not makbid about it. It's wonderful. It's such a statement about their engagement in Avoda. No, the problem is the blood that's all over the ritzba, that they're not able to connect to the ritzba at all. Maybe there's such a chiluk to be made within the dinim of chatzitza. So ask the Gemara further, v'haka mitavzi manayhu. Forget about the chatzitza issue. If they're walking around knee deep in blood, aren't their big day kuhuna getting full of blood, getting filthy? The Tanya in the Brisa tells us that if a kohen does the avoda with dirty clothing, his avoda is pasul. The chitem de madaluhu, maybe he'll say no. He lifts up his big day kuhuna so that the big day kuhuna does not get full of blood. Vatanya, but the Brisa tells us that since it says in the Torah that the kohen has to wear mido vad, michnesei vad, we darshan mido that it has to fit properly. So he's not allowed to lift up his clothing because it has to go down to the bottom of his legs. And that's the way Big Day Kuna are worn. So how would he arrange it that he's going and doing the Avoda in the Azara on Erev Pesach and he's not getting his clothing dirty. He's not getting his big dekuna dirty. Says Gemara, "Ba'olacha sevarim lakevish lav avodihi." Now, the only time that you need big dekuna is when he's bringing the avarim to the kevish to be mocked to them, where it's not an avoda. I'm sorry. The only time he would go in dam and you don't and we're not so worried about the big dekuna is when he would bring the avarim to the kevish, which is not an avoda, so it doesn't really require big dekuna. So it's okay for him to be going knee deep in dam at that time. Says the Gemara, "Velo, are you sure that carrying the avarim to the kevesh is not an avoda?" Vatanya, but we have a brisa that tells us, "Vehikriv hakohen es hakol zu alachas avarim lekevesh." That vehikriv hakohen es hakol means that he brings the avarim to the kevesh. So, and that's only kosher when it's done by a kohen with big day kuhuna. So, what are you talking about? When were they allowed to walk around knee deep in blood? It's when they were bringing the Eitzim to the Ma'aracha. That's when they were knee-deep in blood. The Lav Avodihi. Because that, in fact, is not an Avodah, does not require Big Day Kuna. Says Gemara, that's wonderful. So that's where it's they were knee-deep in blood and it's not a problem. But if the Azara was full of blood in the stomach when they were doing the Avodah, they were full of blood also. How do they avoid it? How do they go and do the Avodah? Azliya Itztavi. They would build these little platforms that were elevated off the Ritzba, and they would walk on that so that they didn't have to be walking in the blood. And apparently that was not a chatitza, that became part of the Ritzba in some way or another, and that was okay. That's not like being molech al gabe kelim, which would be problematic, obviously. Okay, now we continue in the laws of Piggles. So we had already mentioned that if you shecht or you do any of the avodos, having in mind that you're going to eat the basar or be makter the emurim chutzes mano, the whole thing becomes piggle, you're chayiv kares. You have in mind that you can be makter the emurim or be ochel the basar chutz l'makomo, puzzle, but it's not piggle, you're not chayiv kares. What about the following? Hashochet es hazevach lechol dover she'en darko lechol. You have in mind to eat parts of the animal that are supposed to be burned. Lahaktir, dover she'en darko lahaktir. Or you have in mind to burn on the mizbeach, chutzel zmano or chutzel makomo, parts of the animal that are supposed to be eaten, like the basar. So kasher, that's not going to be piggle, that's not going to be puzzle, because you thought about something that's not ra'ui to do chutzel makomo, chutzel zmano, it's not ra'ui at all. So batl daiter, it's the das kaladam, that is not called a machshava at all. Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer holds a machshava of achilas adam and achilas mizbeach are one and the same. So if you have a machshava to eat the emurim that are supposed to be huktar, well, huktar is just achilas mizbeach. So you had a machshava to eat achilas adam chutzlas mano for that which needs achilas mizbeach. That's all one and the same, and therefore that is a legitimate machshava chutzlas mano, which is the most illegitimate machshava, and that will make it piggle. So lechol davar shedarko lechol lahaktir davar shedarko lahaktir. What if you have in mind to eat that which you're supposed to eat, the basar, or to burn that which you're supposed to burn, the emurin, pachos migzayis, but less than the kazayis of it, kosher. Then it's going to be kosher. It's not going to be piggle. Lechol kechatzi zayis lahaktir kechatzi zayis. Kosher. If you have in mind to eat a chatzi zayis and to burn a chatzi zayis, also kosher. Shein achila v'aktara mitstarfin, because achila and aktara are not mitstarif with each other to make up the full shear kizayis. Now the Mishnah discusses other machshavos that do not pasul. Hashochet esezevach lechol kizayis mina or umina rotev umina kipo umina olal umina tzamos umina gidin umina karnayim umina talpayim chutz zmano v'chutz l'mkomo kosher. Person shechts an animal, shechts a carbon, having in mind that he's going to eat a kazayis of parts of the animal that are not eaten, the hide of the animal, the rotav, which is the sauce that it's cooked in, so it's not really part of the carbon, the kippa, which is the combination of spices and little pieces of meat that fall off when you cook it, the alal, which is a sinew in the neck, which is not roi l'achila at all, it's very hard, the bones, the other sinews, the horns, the hooves, all of these things. You have a machshava to eat eat these things, chutzlus manu, chutzlum kamo, it's kosher. None of these things are roi l'achila, so no machshava of achila on these things, chutzlus manu, chutzlum kamo, is going to be considered a machshava in any way. And therefore, vein chayav alei mishum, pigel, nosar, v'tame. They're not subject to, if you may, to make the animal pigel by having machshava on these things, and if you eat it, you're not chayav kares, and you're not chayav mishum. Not only that, let's say you have a carbon that did become pigel. You had a machshava on the basar of achilu chutzlizmano. You had a machshava to be makdu deimurim chutzlizmano. The whole animal is pigel, but you eat these parts of the animal. That's not part of the isra of pigel. You're not chayav kares for eating these parts of the animal. They don't become pigel even when the animal does become pigel, and they also are not subject to the isra of nosar. You leave over parts of the animal after the zman where it's supposed to be nechal, and now you're eating the hooves on the fourth day after the carbon was brought. That's not a violation of nosar. It's maybe about the shaktu or something, but it's not nosar. It's not normal, but it's not nosar. V'tameh, and it's also not subject to tameh. If you eat petumas haguf, let's say a person's tameh and he's partaking of the ore or the hooves or something like that of the animal, he's pater from kares for that as well. Hashochet as some kedushin. Let's say a person shechs a carbon lechol shlil oshilia bachutz lo pigel, having in mind that he wants to eat the fetus or the embryonic sac, chutzlus mano or chutzlum komo, it does not, it's not mefagel the carbon. The carbon's kosher because the shlil and the shilya are generally assumed to be something that people would not eat. They're considered to be disgusting, even if they're soft, and it could be that they're somewhat edible, but that most people are disgusted by that, would not eat that. So it's considered something that's not ra'oy la achila. Hamolek es hatorin lechol beitzeyan bachutz lo pigel. If a person does a malika on a bird, having in mind to eat the beitzim of that bird, the eggs of that bird, chutz l'makom or chutz l'zmano, he's not mefagel or posel the carbon, because that's not part of the animal itself. It's the beitzim that are inside of it, but it's not part of the animal itself. Chalav mukdashin, the milk of karbanos, beitzei torin, or the eggs of birds, ein chayav lei mishum pigel. You're not chayav karis mishum pigel, even if the whole carbon becomes pigel by having a real machsheves chutzlus mano on the basar of the animal or on the emurim of the animal, and you drink the milk of that carbon, you eat the eggs of that carbon, your pater, because that's not considered part of the carbon. It's considered external, and also v'nosar v'tameh. You're also not chayav if you eat it these things after the zman achilas karban. You're not chayav mishum nosar, and you're also not chayiv if you eat these things bitumas aguf while you are tameh. You're not chayiv mishum tameh, because these, not that they're not roi l'achila, eggs and milk are certainly very much roi l'achila, but we're talking about eating milk on Erev Shavuos, okay, that counts, that's the only coincidence, but they're certainly very much roi l'achila, but they're not part of the korban, so that's why they're not going to be subject to the same pigel psulim. Okay, Amar Rav Lazar, pigel bezevach. If a person is mefagel bezevach, by the way, important Rashi over here. Rashi writes, es hamukdashin kol hecha denaket hay lishna mayri b'nekevos. Whenever you have the lashon of mukdashin, it's always talking about nekevos when you have the lashon of mukdashin. That's an interesting comment that Rashi has, because the Gemara in Chulin Daf Peites tells us that a gira nasha is noeg b'chulin u'bamukdashin, that it applies to both chulin and to mukdashin. Now Rashi tells us that the taitch of the word mukdashin is always nekevos. That seems to suggest that whatever the gira nasha is, it's something that you would find in a female animal as well, because he uses the lashon mukdashin. Unless you say, no, only when the word mukdashin is used alone do we say it means only a female animal. That is significant. We're actually going to talk about this in Shavuos night, and when we talk about typos in Jewish history, there is a Rabbi Yonos Neipschitz writes in one place in Kreisi Uplasi, at least in the version we have of it, that there was a menaker, someone who did Nikor Agid, who was going around being marished the whole world and saying that everyone's doing Nikor all wrong, and that everyone's got the wrong vein that they're removing. It should be a different vein. He was making a whole taram. And Rabbi Yonos Neipschitz pulled out a smag, and he says that it says over here, Gid Anasha is knowing Bizcharim Ubinakevos, and you're the Gid that you're talking about only exists in male animals, doesn't exist in female animals. So everyone says, Rabbi Yonasan Heifetz, I mean, it's such a meratzus to say such a raya. When the Sifrei Mitzvot say that something is noheg, b'zicharim u'b'nekevos, it's not talking about the animal, it's talking about the people, that it applies to men and women, right? Not like Mitzvei Shazman Grammar or something. So such a meratzus, Rabbi Yonasan Heifetz was super genius. How does he have such, such absolute meratzus to bring a raya? Okay, so it could be a typo. Maybe we'll discuss on Shavuos night. But the point is that issue of whether it's a vein that applies to that exists in both male and female. Maybe this is a raya that it's a vein that exists in a female animal as well. La halacha, that's certainly correct. So Amar Reb Lazar pigel bezevach. So now the Gemara says if one is mefagel a zevach, you shechter al menas to be makdir chutzas mano nespagel hashalil. Then the shalil, the fetus becomes pigel as well. But shalil, but let's say you have in mind to eat the shalil, eat the fetus chutzas mano lo nespagel hazevach. That is not enough to be mefagel the rest of the animal. Pigel ba'olol, if you have in mind that you're gonna eat this vein in the neck that you did malika on the burden chutzlus mano nispaglamura, then the crop of the animal of the bird is also going to become pigel ba'mura lo nispagel olol, but it doesn't work in the reverse. Pigel ba'imurin, you have a machshava that you can be makti the imurim chutzlus man nispaglu parim. The meat of the animal is going to become pigel. But parim, if you shecht al manas to eat the basar chutzuzman, lo nispaglu emurim. The emurim are not going to become pigel. You're going to be pata from kares because it's not normal to eat the emurim. So what you see, the great chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer is that sometimes something can be a mispagel but not be a mifagel, that it can become pigel along with the rest of the animal, but a machshava about it is not going to be mifagel the rest of the animal. So Gemara is going to spend a lot of time bringing rayas and kashas on Reb Lazar. So we bring a raya to him as follows. V'shavim, the chav men Rabbi Shimon agree, shem chishiv b'achilas parim, that if in one of the avodas adam a person has a machshava to eat the basar l'machar, u'bisrei fasan, or to burn it l'machar in the beis hadeshen, like it's supposed to be done, loss of lo klum. The machshavas achila does not pasul, since it's something that's ein darko lechol. The machshavas sreifa does not pasul, because it's only by haktar in the mizbeach that we say a machshava of chutzlus mano is mefagel, but not by sreifa in the beis hadeshen, sreifa outside. So my love, isn't this talking about if you have a machshava by the basar aparim that it's not mefagel, but hachishev be'emurim nispaglu parim? But if you have a machshava on the emurim that you're going to be makter them chutzlus mano, that it will be mefagel the parim. So you see, it's a one-way street, exactly like Rabbi Lazar said. Lo, says the Gemara, that is an incorrect deal. You want to make a diuk. The diuk should be that if you have a machshava to be maktir the emurim chutzlus mano, the emurim become pigel, but not the basar. Because if the basar is not able to be mispagel, then it can't be mifagel. Tashma, the Gemara brings another raya to Rabbi Lazar. Parim anisrafim, musirim anisrafim, mol and ben misha hukdashu. The parim anisrafim, musirim anisrafim, they're subject to mi'ila from the Syria makipurim, is la Hashem, Syria vodzara. So there's certain sirim anisrafim, they're subject to mi'ila from the moment they're hukdash. Nishchatu, hukshuruli pasal betvul yom. If they are shechted, now they are ready to become pasal if a tvul yom touches them, ube mechusar kipurim, or if a mechusar kipurim touches them, someone who went through a serious level of tuma and needs to bring a korban in order to become tahar, ube lina, and if they stay overnight, they also become pasal. My love, linas pasar. Isn't this talking about that you leave the meat of the animal out overnight, where that's what it's talking about, and that it becomes pasul if it's lan, it becomes pasul shma mina de pasulina migo de pasulina pasul ba machshava. And we see from there that just like it's pasulina, it should also become pasul with a machshavas lina, meaning having a machshava of chutzlus mano on the emurim should also be mefagel the carbon, should ruin the carbon. If you have a machshava to be maktir the emurim chutzlus mano, then it should be a problem like Rabbi Lazar. So says Marlo, lina seimurim. No, it just says lina seimurim, but the basar aparim, it does not become possible lina, and you can't learn from here that the machshava that machshavas pigul is going to be shaykh to it. Ay, but Rami Diktani Seifa, but the Seifa goes on to say, Kulan Molin Ben Al Beis Hadeshen Ad Sheyuta Chabasar Mechal Dereisha Belinas Basar. The Seifa goes on to talk about Basar. It says that these Paramusim and Nisrafim, they're subject to Meila Al Beis Hadeshen, in the place where you burn them outside of the city until the Basar is totally burnt up and it becomes like ashes, and only then is it considered Nasis Mitzvasel, that it's already done and no longer subject to Meila. So you see clearly the Seifa is talking about the Basar. If the Seifa is talking about the basar, the reisha is talking about the basar. Says Gemara, who says midi irya hakadisa vakadisa reisha beimurim seifa basar? Maybe the reisha is only talking about emurim, and the seifa is talking about the basar. So now we're going to challenge Reb Lazar again. Reb Lazar said that the shlil and the shilya are mispagel with the zevach, but cannot be mefagel the zevach. So masiv rabba. So we challenge Reb Lazar from the following. The elu. The Brisa says, "Ve'elu she'ed mefaglin." The following things that if you have a machshava to eat them or to burn them, chutzas manam, it's not going to be mefagel the zevach. Ve'ein mispaglin, and also they cannot, they will not become pigel together with the rest of the zevach. And they are semer shebarashei kvasim, the wool that's on the head of sheep; v'seir shebizkan tiyashim, the beard on on a tayish; va'or, the hide of an animal; va'rotav, the sauce that it's cooked in; va'kifa, the mixture of spices and the little pieces of meat that come off of the animal when you cook it; va'alal, that gid that's in the animal's neck; va'mura, the crop or the gizzard or something; va'tzamos, I don't even know what they are; va'tzamos, va'gidin, va'karnayim, va'talpa, and the bones and the sinews and the horns and the hooves, vashlil vashilya, and the fetus and the embryonic sac, vechaleva muktashin, and the milk of the female muktashin animals, ubeitzei torin, and the eggs of the birds, kulon lo mefaglin velo mispaglin ve'in chayav elayim mishum pigel no sarvetame. They're all not mefagel, they're not mispagel, and if an animal becomes pigel and you eat them, you're not chayav kares, and if they're left over beyond their zman and you eat them, you're not chayav mishum nosar, and if you're tame and you eat them, you're not chayav mishum tame v'amal ne'el mechutz potter, and if you're makter them outside of the azara, you're potter from kares. But what do you see? Shlil, shilya was mentioned as things that are lo mefaglin velo mispaglin. My love, lo mefaglin hazevach, lo mefaglin machmas hazevach. Doesn't that mean that if you have a machshava to eat them or burn them, chutz l'zmanam, they're not going to be mefagel the rest of the carbon? And if you have a machshava on the basar of the carbon or the emurim of the carbon to do chutz l'zmano, it's not going to be mefagel these parts of the carbon against Rabbi Eliezer? So says Gemara, lo. Lo mefaglin as hazevach, lo mispaglin machmas atzman. They're not mefagel the zevach when you have a machshava about these parts, chutz l'zmano. You have a machshava to eat the embryonic sac, chutz l'zmano. It's not going to be mefagel the zevach. And lo mispagel means it's not going to be mispagel when you have a machshava just to eat the embryonic sac, chutz l'zmano. Even the embryonic sac is not going to become pigel. And if you eat it, you're not going to be chayiv kares. But if you're mefagel the rest of the korban by having machshava to eat the basar chutz l'zmano, to be makter the emurim chutz l'zmano, then absolutely it's going to be mefagel the embryonic sac as well. Well, then why then does the seifa have to then add that kulan are not mefagel or mispagel? Why is that necessary? You already said in the resha, ve'elu she'in mefaglim ve'in mispaglim. So it must be that it's teaching us something else, that it's not even mispagel machmas hazevach. So it says, why does it have to say in chayavim lov mishum pigel? Ela aidi debay lemisni nosa v'tamei tana pigel hachnami aidi debay lemisni hamal mein mechutz tananami v'kul lom mfagim v'lom mispaglim. There are certain extra words in the Brisa, meaning since we always throw pigel nosa v'tamei together, so even though we already said the thing about pigel, so we mentioned pigel nosa v'tamei, even though the pigel part is a repeat. So we are also, since it wants to tell the din that hamal mein mechutz is potter, so it mentions kul lom mefaglin v'lo mispaglin, not because there's any new din over there. Rava Amar Afana Nami Tanina. We have this kimat explicit in the Mishnah that shlil and shilya are mispagel, but they are not mifagel, because it says hashochet hasamukdashin lechol shlil o shilya b'chutz, yushach the mukdashin to eat the shlil or shilya chutz mukam or chutz zmano lo pigel v'amolik hasatorim lechol beitzeim b'chutz, you do malik on a bird to eat the eggs b'chutz lo pigel. It's not mefagel the animal. V'hadar tani Chalev HaMukdashin, that the Ubeitze Tarim, the eggs of the Mukdash, the milk or the eggs of the Karbanos, Ein Chayav Nalev Shum Pigalos Vatame. Hashlil Vashilya Chayavim, but that implies that for eating the Shlil and Shilya, you are Chayav Mishum Pigal. El Alav Shma Mina, so what you see is, from the fact that Shlil and Shilya are Mispagel, how's that not against the Braisa, that Kan Machmas HaZevach, Kan Machmas Atzman, that they're Mispagel when the rest of the carbon became pigel. They're not mispagel when the machshava was about them themselves. So shma mina. So we see that chilik is in fact correct. Okay, but next time, tomorrow, we'll pick up with Tanan Hassan.